Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Sometimes the transition to fall and winter feels like experiencing every season on the same day. The shoes in the Allbirds Mizzle collection were made for misty morning walks, surprise snow days, and anything a trip to the dog park might bring. The whole collection brings together water-repellent technology and classic style, so you can stay warm, dry, and comfy during your everyday adventures. Check off your errands with the Wool Runner Mizzle, dash through cold and wet weather with the Wool Dasher Mizzle, or upgrade to next-level protection with the Wool Runner Up Mizzle Plus. Go to allbirds.com and use code FRESHSOCKS for a free pair of socks with your purchase. ALLBIRDS.com, code FRESHSOCKS.
Phil Tiger. Slacker Podcast.
Hello, Slacker friends. Welcome to the first ever Slacker Friends podcast. I hope your hair is quiffed and your cowboy boots are shined. On the show, we look at all the weird, wonderful, stupid, topical, and ridiculous stories in the world of music with two special guests every week. We'll get to them in a little bit. I mean, you can see them now. Like, you can probably tell who they are. If you're watching on the YouTube channel, click below to subscribe and turn on the notifications for 2 to 3 videos a week. To be able to get this content and the Slacker podcast rolling, the show survives on the support of the Patreons. So if you enjoy this, get over to the Patreon and show your love for the price of a cup of tea or a cup of coffee. Get on to patreon.com/slacker podcast, and there's fresh reviews up there of Haim and Phoebe Bridgers and loads of other stuff. Right, let's get into this. Let's go. This is Slacker Friends, episode 1, introducing to you our first, I don't know whether to call you contestant or guest.
Contestant.
I'm into that.
Doesn't sound right, does it?
Contestant.
Our first contestant. And the theme tune music for our contestant is... Joining me this week, we have Fight Like Apes and La Galaxy Singer, host of Other Voices. Ladies and gentlemen, I give you Mekay. Thank you for coming on the Slacker Friends podcast, episode 1.
Woo! Phil, that intro, I'm not worthy.
Are you feeling patriotic?
That's stunning.
This is the Irish national anthem for anybody who doesn't know. And also, it goes on forever.
It does go on forever, just like our patriotism. Up Ireland.
If anybody was wondering why we're playing the MIDI versions of things, it's because we can't afford to get the rights to play them on this show without getting it taken down. Mekay, we're gonna come back to you in a little minute because we've got our other... I feel like I'm going to have to call everybody this from now on every podcast. Our second contestant guest is... BBC introducing BBC Radio 1 for Music MOTDX Match of the Day Extra. The hostess with the mostest, Abby McCarthy, joins us and is our second Slacker friend. Hello.
Hello, Phil.
How you doing?
Yeah, I'm good. Are you?
Yeah, I'm all right. Do you like the Match of the Day? I mean, I could have gone with like so many different music things because you are like 90% music, 10% sport, right?
Yeah, no, but the Match of the Day theme is a banger. I quite like it. I would listen to that.
Let's just vibe out for a minute. I think this is the end. Oh, it's 20 more seconds. I can't be arsed. So yeah, how's everybody doing? Everybody good? Starting with you, Abby. What's been going on this week?
Mostly melting, to be honest, in my flat. I can't really handle any kind of heat as the pale English rose that I am. And obviously we've had literally the hottest days of the year in the UK. So been struggling with that. Apart from that, listening to loads of music, doing my BBC introducing show, and generally being a bit of a nuisance.
Just hanging out and sweating and melting. Like, I'm in a cabin in Brighton. I like to call it my studio, but like effectively it's like a cabin for like an elderly person to stay in off the side of a house. And I am that elderly person. And there's no AC in here. And listen to me, how American am I? There's no AC in here. Yeah, I'm melting. But so if anybody's watching this on YouTube, which you can do, I will probably be, it'll be a whack t-shirt contest, but only with me in it at the end. So it'll be disgusting.
We'll be like puddles of sweat by the end. It's going to be great. You can just watch us fall apart.
Big time. And Mekay, how are you doing? What's going on?
I am suffering from the heat as well, as they say. I am of the same skin type as Abby. So, and also I have three dogs and a cat outside who are really excited that I'm talking, because they don't hear us talk a lot these days because we don't have people to talk to. So they're barking really loudly, so I can't open the window.
Well, like, I've got my little dog Rebel, who's been barking away loads as well whenever I get on Zoom. So like, if they do it, we'll just pull them in and use them as like collateral for the podcast. Nobody can get pissed off at a dog on Zoom, right?
No, that's content. Get them in.
Fact.
Have any of you had any problems with like with sort of like the streaker coming on Zoom? You know what I mean? When somebody coming into the room when you don't want them to be, like, I feel like that happens to me at least once a day now.
I did that to my sister. My sister does training, like media training and stuff. So she was doing a lot of stuff online lately. And I did that thing that I just thought I was too experienced for. I walked into the room, the camera was facing me, and then I turned sideways as if then they wouldn't see me. So just looked double weird. So I came in and then just went and just stood froze there instead of leaving. And she had to really be like, it's okay, you can just get out. And I was like, okay, and waved. I don't know. I panicked. I really didn't think I was gonna be that guy, but I very much was.
I saw a video recently of I think it was a politician being interviewed in Northern Ireland, and there was somebody in the background was coming out of one of the shops, and she froze and she did the same thing where she turned sideways, but instead of like walking forward, she walked backwards. Like, you know, she walked backwards out of the shop thinking that that was going to be fine on a long shot.
She moonwalked out of there. It's exactly how I would like to leave a shot, is moonwalking out of there. That is one of the funniest videos ever.
Yeah,
that is amazing.
The meme game, I mean, like, the meme game has been pretty strong over lockdown. It's been keeping me going.
Yeah, totally. I
feel like I've not had anyone walk in on any of my Zoom calls, but the other day I kind of caught myself out. So a lot of us are doing it, let's be honest. Zoom calls, you look fairly normal on the top, but you're definitely wearing pajamas.
Yeah.
And then my laptop was running out of charge. I was like, oh, I must go and get my charge. I just forgot and got up. And they were like, oh, I like your trousers. I was like, let's go with trousers.
That's what it is. It's business up top, party down the bottom.
That's what it's all about.
Yeah, flip-flops all
the
way.
It's like party up top, naps down the bottom, siestas on the bottom.
So this is the first time we're doing the Slacker Friends podcast, and we've got loads of sort of questions and little bits to do around music. And we're going to start, like, I've fired all these sound effects in here, and God knows if they're going to work in any order, right? But like, this is our first bit. Nope. That's a good start. Okay, right here. Hold on. Let me go again.
That was a million years ago.
Our first question, our first feature, that was a million years ago. I'm looking at a story from the past in music, almost like a On This Day, which we've basically ripped off. Bob Dylan was awarded an honorary degree by the University of Scotland and made a Doctor of Music in 2004. Who do you guys think is the most intelligent musician of all time? Abby, ooh, you go first.
Oh, such a big question. I feel like you could obviously go for the greats like David Bowie, just because he reinvented himself throughout his career, put out so many albums and was still making just incredible music right up until the end. And just like the legacy that he's left behind, or you could say Prince, obvs, one of the best musicians of all time. I think he can play literally all the instruments that ever existed, or nearly. And, you know, guitar solo wise, he's the guy. But yeah. Then I thought, I actually want to look who is the most intelligent musician.
Did you look? Did you Google it?
So did I.
Got some facts for you. So Brian May from Queen is super intelligent. He's got a PhD and everything in astronomy, I think it is. I was like, hey.
I actually knew that. That's weird, yeah.
Shakira's super intelligent. She's got an IQ of 140 because she speaks so many different languages. So look at that. Her brain is not small and humble.
Yes. That took me a second.
I need to get, do you know what, for Slacker Friends episode 2, I'm gonna have some air horns in for little moments like that, because that was just, that was a mic drop right there. I didn't know Shakira was such a high intellect as she was. I knew she was an incredible pop singer, an incredible force to be reckoned with in Spanish music, but my god.
Yeah, 140 is like a really high IQ as well, isn't it? Because I was suddenly like, oh, I wonder what mine is. And then I got distracted doing a test, but I didn't finish it. Because I was like, I'm blatantly going to be impressed. My IQ will be like really low and I'll be like, oh.
See, I think like to do an IQ test, there's so many of them online. And like, I think like to really get it, you have to do an official one. I did one, but I don't know if it was an official one. And I did it just to prove me and my missus were having an argument about which one of us was smarter. And I was like, I am clearly much more intelligent. She was like, I am clearly much more intelligent. I was like, let's put it down to the IQ test. And I think I won by one. I think I was like 131 and she was 130 or something like that.
That's still a humble brag, Phil.
It is a humble brag, because then we both then I farted and passed out.
Ah, perfect.
Yeah.
The balance.
Back in the room. Mekay, what do you think? Who do you think is the most intelligent musician of all time?
Well, I did exactly what Abby did and Googled this to begin with, because the person that sprang to my mind immediately, I was just like, oh, maybe that's ridiculous. For me, for a songwriter, Jenny Lewis is number one for me in terms of somebody who can she just writes nothing but ballads. They're just these songs that encompass everything that she's talking about. So I mean, since 2000, she wrote It's a Hit in 2004, which is one of the most brilliant, clever, funny songs I think I've ever heard. Just One of the Guys, which is a beautiful insight into misogyny and sexism and how it affects us as women, as opposed to it being about giving out about men, how it affects us is brilliant. And then the Better Son, Daughter, which is about kind of suicide and depression. They're just all bona fide anthems. And I just think the way that she, it's that real conversational, confessional pop music, but just it's full of hooks. And that's such an incredible talent to be able to say so much in with so little and tell stories and have conversations in songs. And I've been in a total, I think my answer to almost every good question is Jenny Lewis.
I understand that. Like, I understand. Because, like, the intelligence that you need to be able to connect on a human basis and connect to multiple types of people is needs to be quite high. Because, I mean, you could be the most intelligent person and be able to write code for NASA or the CIA or whoever, but you might not be able to connect with two people. Do you know? There's different levels of intelligence.
It's so true. And that leads me on to Cardi B, because she is the most, in terms of political commentators in music, Cardi B has been one of the most concise, clear-headed speakers on the state of American politics lately. Mm. Whenever I see one of her, and I just think she's a buzz, and she makes me feel like an elderly woman, because whenever I watch her, I'm just like, she's going to do herself an injury with them nails. But when I actually listen to her, I'm just like, yeah, exactly. So there is such a tremendous amount of intelligence in her that comes from that crazy confidence of just going, here's what I think, and I'm just going to say it. You know, we so often are like, that can't make any sense what I'm saying, or that can't be valuable what I'm saying. She just has that mad, rare confidence where she's just like, I'm going to fucking say it. So Jenny Lewis and Cardi B.
There's a huge spread of answers here. From like we've gone from Brian May to Cardi B. Two people.
Yeah, I'm all on the record. Yeah, actually.
I'd say rarely in the same room at the same time. Maybe the Grammys or something like that. But we've also had answers about Jenny Lewis and Shakira. I was thinking myself. I was like, I'm going to put Professor Brian Cox in because he was the keyboard player or synth player, if you will, for D-Ream. Who wrote the... Professor Brian Cox was in the band that wrote the number one hit banger, Things Will Only Get Better, which was used for, the benefits of new labor.
So, well, I've always thought I'm going to call my firstborn Professor.
That's good.
That's just their first
and
name.
And have their middle name is Brian, and then their last name is Cox. it's Professor Brian Cox. can anybody do an impression of Brian Cox? Professor...
No, you surely can. This is why.
No, I can't. I can't. I can't do impressions of anybody. I really hate. Like, I've got one setting, and it's like generic Northern Irish accent. Number one.
It's working. It's working for you.
It is working. Right. I tell you what. I'm not gonna do the In an Andromeda Light Years Away.
I knew you were gonna do it.
Let's move on to our Hero of the Week. I think that was 5 seconds off the Foo Fighters. Do you reckon I'll still get sued for that?
Oh,
we'll see.
If I play it again, I might. There we go. Well, I mean, like, if you come on next week and there's a MIDI voice of somebody going, "Nangle's my hero."
Oh, love that.
We're looking at like the hero and the villains of the week. We'll start with the hero. I don't have actually one for this, so I'm gonna lean on you two for this. So Mika, who do you think the hero of the week has been?
Now this is terribly predictable of me that I'm gonna say Irish women are my heroes of the week this week, because for a few reasons. They're was a single of cover of Dreams by the Cranberries released, led by Ruth Ann Cunningham, with 39 female artists on it. And it was released just to raise money for Save Ireland, which is a charity to dealing with domestic violence in Ireland. It prompted a gender disparity data report by Linda Coogan Byrne, and showed some appalling statistics about gender-based playing on radio in Ireland, and it's so bad. It's just so bad. But this song has gotten to number 2 in the Irish charts, and it's the only song in the top 20 in Ireland right now that features any females, and it took 39 women on one track to get there. So it's a great thing and a bullshit thing as well. Like, it's just such a shame that it took that. And there's just loads of things coming out of that. I mean, there's been a national campaign to save the arts in Ireland at the moment, led by some incredible women. Loads of women speaking out about sexual abuse in the music and comedy industry at home at the moment. And just as a whole, there seems to be this, like, I'm all for burning the whole thing down approach, but there just seems to be some seriously calculated, measured approaches happening at the moment. And they're so powerful. And they're still loud, but they're powerful. So they are my heroes. And even though it's kind of grim that all this stuff is happening, there's change happening. And the song is amazing. So,
What's the name of the song? Like, if anybody wants to go and listen to it or find it from this, what do they type?
So it's Dreams by the Cranberries. And the group is called Women in Harmony.
Incredible. There's been such a big movement in Ireland over the last couple of years, even on radio, to play more Irish music, but it turns out like they're playing maybe more Irish music but more Irish men, so there's still a shitload of work to be done. I saw a friend of mine post something up that a big Dublin station in their top 20 tracks of the year didn't have one female artist, and that's not acceptable.
It's just crazy. And one thing that I've been so conscious of over the last few years talking about problems in music is I don't want to discourage young women from getting into music. I don't want a 15-year-old girl to be watching, young woman, I should say, to be watching me talking or anyone of my peers talking and saying that the odds are against you. I don't want to say that. So why the reason I find this kind of exciting now is that I can say to that 15-year-old person, yes, there are problems, but we're on them and we're going to fix them. And like, there's going to be a change. So yeah, it's wild. Like it's really ridiculous. So yeah, but there's a change coming. All right.
Abby, do you think about that when you program your radio show, like the balance that you have on your playlist, say for like an hour or 2 hour show, the balance of women that are in there and the balance of men that are in there? Cause like, I know I do like, and I know that sometimes if I slip and I forget about it, my producer will remind me going, and it's been the
amazing.
Other way before as well, where like, I remember my producer going, you couldn't stick a dude in there. It's been women for the last half hour.
Yeah. It's because there's so much female talent around. I've done that before. I've like looked at a 2 hour show and I'm like, oh wow, it's all women just by chance. And that's amazing. But a lot of the time I am like, yeah, I really want to play more females, people of color. You need to just represent everybody, don't you? And yeah. I think it's important to do that. But often it's just like, I play what I like and hopefully that is also representative as well. But on the BBC Introducing Uploader, we've been doing like this big initiative called 50-50 to try and make every show 50-50 in terms of gender, just because there are a lot less women uploading to us. So there's less to select from to then play. And it's been really nice over the course of this year, seeing more and more young women being inspired and then having a go at making music and uploading it. And then, you know, us playing it and us making it record of the weeks and them getting played on Radio One as well and Six Music and whatever. So it feels like there's been a real movement, but I think it's so important that we do think about it in our track list, because kind of as May was saying, if you don't see somebody that's like you, you think you can't do it. You've got to see it to believe it, haven't you? So if you're a young woman and you're living in Ireland and you don't hear anybody on the radio really that's female, it's hardly the most inspirational, motivational thing.
Yeah,
it's got to change, and we've got to be conscious of that as presenters.
You need somebody with your own accent to help you like out like that. You know what I mean? You need a hometown hero to help you step up to the next bit. I mean, as fun as it would be to for like somebody like Ellie from Wolf Alice to like inspire you to go and be in a rock band, like actually hearing somebody or knowing that somebody's within a stone's throw and distance from your house gives you that little more impetus, I think. Abby, who is your sue me, Dave?
Hey, my hero of the week isn't really from this week, it's from the past month, so I am cheating.
That's fine.
But what are you gonna do, Phil? What are you gonna do?
I'm gonna play this again. I love having sound effects, man. It's just made my whole life complete.
Love it. I can see how the next like little while is going to go. So I've gone for Stormzy because I just think he made a real big statement. Obviously, the Black Lives Matter movement, something that's been happening all around the world and is much needed. Everyone needs to be more actively anti-racist. But I think the music industry, a lot of people did the Blackout Tuesday thing where, you know, you post a black square on your Instagram, which is one thing, but it's about being active outside of that. And Stormzy, I remember thinking, oh, he's actually been maybe a bit more quiet on the matter than I thought he would be. Obviously, as one of the most influential black men in the UK. And then he just puts out this statement being like, I'm donating £10 million to organizations that are fighting racism. And I was just like, what a statement and what an amount. Mm. That is such an incredible thing to do, and it's a real dedication because I think it's 10 million over the next 10 years, so it being a million a year to really like keep that conversation going. Because I think people are worried that people posted this square or posted a bit about it or retweeted a couple of things and then aren't having these conversations, and he's using his influence to be like, come on, we need to do this, we need to do more.
He's literally putting his money where his mouth is, like, and the thing is, like, Stormzy is a recent OG as well. Like, he's not coming at this with like 10 number one albums and like yachts and hundreds of millions of pounds. He's not like a Rolling Stone or whatever. Like, this is a guy who's just dropped a second album, and sure, he's like one of the biggest in the UK. I'm not certain like how well Stormzy sells around the world. So like, do you know what I mean? Like, he's very, very big in Britain, and I'm sure he's got his fan base in Europe and the US as well. And that's got me thinking. I was like, that's a shit ton of money to him. Like, I mean,
like, so much. Yeah.
Like 10 million pounds.
Apparently it's half of it's half of his worth, I think, if not more.
Wow.
Yeah, you got to put respect on his
half
name.
His worth.
You have to put respect on his name when he's doing something like that.
Mm. Absolutely. And especially it was kind of difficult to watch people calling out some black artists and being like, where are you on this? First of all, it's like, first of all, they're suffering and they're, you know, they're trying to make sense of all this. So it was a crazy thing to target black people who weren't speaking out. And then for Stormzy to come out and be like, here's what I've been doing. It was like, good man.
Okay. it is a bit of a mic drop. Our heroes of the week is the Cranberries cover of, I've forgotten the name of it already.
It's all right. Women in Harmony.
Women in Harmony. And
Dreams.
And Stormzy for literally giving half his money to black culture and making black culture better in the UK. So they are definitely the heroes. Well done. We salute you. Let's move on now to the villains.
You're a piece of garbage. A real shitty piece of garbage.
Thank you very much to BoJack Horseman for the rip of that one.
They won't sue you.
They won't sue. Shocking. Come on. Get in line.
You're good crack. You won't sue Phil.
Yeah, come on, man. He's just a guy making a podcast, trying to make a living, trying to make something of himself, eh?
That's an impression. There you go.
Yeah.
Yes.
Come on.
I did it. Thank God. I actually, like, it's running through my head now. I'm like, going, I'm going to get more sound effects for next week. So who's the villains of the week? Who wants to go first?
Well, I'll go first. And I wanted to give you a funny one, but I just can't, because my heroes of the week have to have a villain for them to have had to speak out. So
sure.
my villain of the week, I'm going to put Joe Rogan as the villain, because I'm done with him.
Hold on, we're on a podcast, and you're calling Joe Rogan the villain. Joe Rogan is like the king of these podcasts. That's like, that's like.
It's kind of there's a wrestling vibe off this situation.
It's like blasphemy. Somebody once said that Joe Rogan was like the Oprah of bros, and so they were calling him Jopra. And I was like, the Jopra bros are gonna come at you, mate, for this. But go ahead. I'm open minded.
Oprah does not deserve to be involved. I think since all of these things have been coming out lately, particularly worldwide with comedy scenes, which I've never been involved in, so I didn't know, just kind of the systems involved, that like actual gatekeepers of very important comedy stages have been held by, those positions have been held by men, some men who have been horrendous and have exploited so many female comedians who have ended up just leaving the business because it's been too difficult. I don't think we can change everybody, so there's creeps everywhere and they need to be held accountable, but people like Joe Rogan, who I just think have too much life experience and are too intelligent to keep platforming these men, I don't understand that. And I don't understand how he's doing it publicly. He's getting funded, he's getting paid by people. I cannot understand it. And we've got clips online of men more or less admitting, not more or less, fully admitting to exploiting their positions for their own pleasure.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all just laughed off, and it's just all feeding a really dangerous culture. So I'm hoping that that's changing as well. It's very difficult to see how something that's been that open can actually be washed.
Question I was going to ask you, Mary, about Joe Rogan is that I had KSI on my podcast, who's a massive YouTuber, right? And he told me, and it was almost frightening, really. He was saying, like, I can't be cancelled. And I was like, what do you mean? Like, of course you can be cancelled. Anybody can be cancelled. And he was like, no, I'm on YouTube. We don't get cancelled. And I was like, what do you mean? And he was like, well, PewDiePie said some anti-Semitic stuff and he didn't get cancelled, and was it Logan Paul or one of those ones one of the brothers filmed a guy who's dead in Japan and he didn't get cancelled. And Joe Rogan's platform, I mean, it's soon to be Spotify, but it is YouTube. Like, you can't see him getting cancelled for this, can you, really?
No, that's why people, that's why I'm talking about, feel like if there's young female comedians watching this, I don't want them to think that they can't still live their lives and their careers and have decent careers without having to deal with men like the men that Joe Rogan keeps having on his podcasts. Yeah, I don't know what to say to that, because you're right. There's always
I'm not saying it as a method of support. I'm saying it's kind of depressing.
No.
Like, as in, like, I think that there's some people now that are so famous that they're kind of above the ethical or moral code, really.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, if enough people are still laughing, and then you start that kind of conversation that it's like, don't you let them people tell you that you can't find this stuff funny, because then they, you know, then they're telling you, then they're policing your humor. That's when you get people into this little weird army vibe where they're like, yeah, exactly. And then things get edgier and people start doubling down on this style of humor they use, and it getting more gross and more problematic. Because it's like people are, it's just the stupidest mentality to be like, I'm going to laugh at this twice as hard because you're trying to tell me it's...
Nah, that's not on. Joe, you're our villain.
You're a piece of garbage, a real shitty piece of garbage.
Well, I'm never getting invited on his podcast. And I wouldn't go on it now because of you, Mickey. See that? Solidarity. Abby, who's your...
You're a piece of garbage, a real shitty piece of garbage.
I went for a really silly one.
Go on. Lighten it
Jason...
up after Mickey there.
I know, I feel like we need like a bit of a pause. We can edit that in, and then I'll come in with my silly one. I've gone for Jason Derulo.
Oh my God, why couldn't you have told me? Do you know, I wish I had asked about this earlier so I could have had a Jason Derulo sound effect.
I just heard him on the radio earlier on going, Jason, and I was like, give me that confidence.
But also, so obviously the first thing we had was Jason Derulo, but now he's done a remake of that song that's everywhere on TikTok. You know, the one that's like, he's made it into an actual song and it's charting and it's horrific. Please, no one stream it.
Oh my God.
Stop. It's enough.
Do you think somebody like Jason Derulo enjoys his own music? Like, you know, like Mary, you play in bands, right? And like you play in bands and you, I assume that like you really enjoy the music of like Galaxy and you enjoy the music of Fight Like Gapes. Like I do. I love both. I think they're great. Do you think Jason Derulo is like going,
having a laugh?
Do you know what? That vocoder on the end of my name, that sounds dope. I love that. I am into it. Maybe he does. I don't know. Because people do like it. It is popular. Like it is firing off the serotonin in a lot of people's heads. Like
You just have to be into it. I kind of love the idea that he's at home just laughing his balls off going,
ka-ching.
Jesus Christ, they're going for this again. This is incredible. Like, and the lads are all like, yeah, we're going to, you know, we're going on holidays again because Jason's after saying his name on the top of a track again.
That's amazing. I would imagine him like just pissing himself laughing as like, like a robot butler comes over with like an ice cold, like glass of champagne. And he's just like,
and he's like, haha, they fell for it again.
Absolutely hilarious from me. Actually, I thought when you said Jason Derulo about that song, there was a very clickbaity article that came up today and I scrolled past it and I just was looking at it there now and it says Jason Derulo says he was in like the film Cats, you know, that like really I never watched it. I heard it was
a masterpiece,
horrible.
It was so bad that I was obsessed with it. I absolutely loved it.
So yeah, Jason Derulo was in it and the headline is on the Rolling Stone and it says, much to his dismay, Jason Derulo's penis in Cats is smaller than he would like. They CG'd, CGI'd the dick out. The new Rum Tum Tugger said regarding his role in Cats. What's a Rum Tum Tugger? I don't know.
It's one of the cats.
Oh, okay, right. I mean, I've never, like, is it even a book? I don't know.
Oh, I've seen it. I saw it in Covent Garden when I was small.
Okay, so Have any seen the movie? Wasn't like Helen Mirren in it? Wasn't like an incredible cast?
A mega cast, because like Taylor Swift was in it as well, wasn't she? Like right at the end, and who else?
Judi Dench.
Oh, of course, yeah.
Maybe it's Judi Dench.
Singer who did Memories.
Jennifer Hudson.
Jennifer Hudson.
Yeah, she's quite a big part in it. I mean, and James Corden's in it. There's loads. It's like a proper
Idris Elba,
cast,
yeah. Ian McKellen.
Worst effects you've ever seen.
Oh my God, yeah, Ray Winston. Imagine Ray Winston.
I'd watch it again. I was a big fan. I can't tell. You know when you're into so much stuff because it's crap, but that then actually I do get confused myself whether I actually liked that or not. And I suspect that I did.
Well, that is our villain of the week. We've got Joe Rogan and Jason Derulo as our villains. I mean that seems perfectly fine. We've got like a new story came out this week was Paris Jackson had dropped her first EP of music, and it causes a little bit of a stir when the daughter of Michael Jackson releases some music. Like you really want to hear what it's like. Do you want me to play a little blast of it? I was lining that up. That's what like clipped in at a really inappropriate time, Mary, when you were talking about that,
actually.
And I was just like, oh God. This is I'm so shit.
Oh,
such a shit person.
It gets worse the more I think about it. Yeah. Okay.
This is the Soundflowers and Geronimo, Paris Jackson singing on this.
Haven't picked up a six string in a long, long while.
What, Bryan Adams much?
I can't remember the last time I wrote a song.
There now.
You broke my heart so many times. I stopped counting, no longer know why I still care.
So there's a little blast of Paris Jackson's band, The Soundflowers. The track's called Geronimo, and I mean perfectly reasonable acoustic pop. I mean I don't love it, I don't particularly hate it either. It's just the sort of
it's
the sort of music That's you just
the worst review
you just
ever
hate. Like, it stirs nothing in me. Like I can understand why people would like it, but it's not even rice bland to me. Like
yeah, it sounds like go on.
I was going to say, that's almost the worst review, though. It just makes you feel nothing. That is low, isn't it?
That's so
I don't even. I don't even feel strongly enough that I hate it.
Yeah.
But I don't love it. I just don't care.
I just don't
care. Yeah, and I actually don't remember what we were talking about. It was so bland. So, but like, it sounds like off the soundtrack for Nashville, but maybe it wouldn't, because that's a great soundtrack. But it doesn't... Oh, I don't know. I hated that she's called. She's just called Michael Jackson's daughter in the headline, and then the question is this a thriller in Enemy?
That's not fair.
Give her a break.
Like it does get you thinking though, because like if your dad is like Cristiano Ronaldo, or your dad's like Pelé in football, like you're never going to be as good as them because they are like the goats at that game. And when it comes to music, the question I really was thinking about regarding this was, what child of a big star has managed to not be totally terrible?
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive and June. Olive and June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive and June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive and June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Oh, I think there's a few that are making music like right now that like immediately pop into my head. Obviously, Mabel, who's Nana Cherry's daughter, who is just an absolute legend.
I'd say Mabel's probably sold more records than her ma has at this stage now.
Yeah, you know what? Maybe she has.
But her mum was the number one artist. Like Mabel has streamed something shocking. It's hard to compete. Yeah. Like I'd imagine around the Christmas table, they're like, "We'll have some more records than you. We'll have sort more singles than you."
But I've streamed more than you.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, definitely. She's definitely.
Like, get the Pringles.
Yeah. But she's had like mad success. It was like she's been in the charts since she started, and is probably still in the charts now. So she's done really well. And the other person that I'm thinking has had a really good year music wise and put out an amazing album is Georgia, because her dad, Neil, isn't it, is in left field.
And I didn't like, know that.
What?
Yeah. So she posted up, she posted up like a little while ago, a photo of her side of stage at Glastonbury when they like headlined. And I was just like, what an amazing childhood it must be. Just like watching your dad kill it in front of all these people. God. And I feel like her second album for me is just like dance for bangers. It's so good. And I feel like that's because she's like lent into her love of rave and, you know, all the music, I guess, her dad would have brought her up on and got her into. So
what was that single like, from last year? Brilliant. Was it About the Dance Floor?
About Work the Dance Floor. It's like the a dance radio floor. DJ's yeah. nightmare, isn't it? You feel like you've said it wrong and you're like, no, that's
yeah, yeah, exactly.
It really is.
That Am I drunk again? No, it's fine.
That was one of the best pop songs of that year it came out. I think it was like last year or the year before, but like it was an incredible... Like Georgia, it was, yeah, big, big time. That yeah. album.
Sing
really
it,
good.
Phil. Sing it, Phil, there. I don't know it.
I'm not getting into
just
it.
Just like
anymore.
The record, that.
Just like exactly.
Yeah.
Hey, my
thought
dad.
You were playing it.
My dad's not in left field. My dad used to go line dancing. So like, you know, there's a big difference there.
Oh.
I'm from Northern Ireland. They go set dancing or line dancing. That's all we do up there. So yeah, I mean, you blew my mind with George's dad being in left field.
Yeah.
Mekay, what are you saying? Who do you think is like the spawn of a famo that's actually pretty good?
Right, well, I just have to tell you the first person that came to my mind is Cher, because her mum's Georgia Holt, who's an amazing country singer.
I didn't know. How old was she?
You both look really confused.
Is Cher, like, how old? Like, I'm confused because like I'm like, is Cher's mum still alive? Because isn't Cher like about 80?
She's not 80. Oh, you can't.
She is.
That.
I'm not even being facetious. Like, I'll Google it now. Like, I'm not going, oh, isn't Cher like 90 or whatever.
Cher's 74.
Is. She's literally like, oh, she is 74, but that's near 80 than 16.
She looks fantastic. I thought she was like in her 60s. Fair play.
Yeah, I mean,
yeah,
she looks
94.
Brilliant. Flipping wow. hell. Cher's mom.
Yeah, she's an amazing artist. She released a new album a few years ago.
Wow.
Well, in the last decade anyway. But sorry, that's the first person that came to mind. Also, is Denise Welsh a big star?
Denise Welsh off of...
Because her son is Matt Healy from the 1975.
Yeah. Oh,
so, I mean, this answer depends entirely on if you consider Denise Welsh. I mean, in some circles, Denise Welsh is a superstar.
I would say she's a star. Yeah, definitely would. She's done a lot on Loose Britain and Coronation Street and lots of soaps. Also, her Maddie's dad is... what's his name?
Healy. He's an actor.
Tim Healy.
Well,
yeah, he was
an
Off Feeders in Pet and
All
that sort of stuff as well. And it's weird because like his dad's like quite short and stout, and like actually when you like look at them, the dad looks like he would be sort of like drinking down a working man's club, like that sort of vibe. And obviously Matty looks like he'd be drinking, like, you know, cappuccinos, like outside like a artisan bakery in East London. And actually,
Phil, I love the way you think cappuccinos are like peak.
I don't drink coffee. Well, what's the peak hipster like coffee drink? Because I don't know anything about it. Like mocha latte.
Yeah,
a flat white. That's quite hipster, isn't it?
Drink a cappuccino.
I think you might have this one, Mickey, with Maddie Healy from 1975. Two answers I had was Miley Cyrus, because she was Billy Ray Cyrus' daughter, and probably still is. Billy Ray Cyrus.
Yes, still is.
Hopefully still is, yeah.
And Elias, how do I pronounce his name? I've met him and chatted to him loads.
Elijah from Inhaler.
Yeah, Elijah from Inhaler. Yeah, sorry.
Oh, I just
had a mind fart. Yeah, Bono's son.
Yeah.
I remember,
he is a lovely, lovely guy.
Yeah, he's a total dude. I've met him like two or three times now, and he's lovely. There's a little clip here that I'd like to play. It's a NME interview with James McCartney, who is Paul McCartney's son. And it's around about the time that he was releasing some music. And they did a 60-second interview with them. I'm going to play the whole thing. You won't hear the questions in it because they're just written down. So I'm going to call the questions out as we go along. This is from 2012. And the breadth of answers that James McCartney, Paul McCartney's son, gives in this is absolutely astounding, right? I'll play the journalist. Here we go. Okay, starting it now. Who is the greatest rock star of all time?
My dad.
Name a song you wish you'd written.
Let It Be.
Oh.
If I came to your house, what would you cook me?
Vegetables.
Who would play you in the rock biopic of your life?
Who would play the ball? Leonardo DiCaprio.
Great.
Three records you would take on a desert island.
Nevermind, Let It Be, and Abbey Road.
If you had the power to make any band reform, who would it be? The Beatles. What tip would you give to a new band just starting out?
Just write lots of songs.
And if you had a house party, who would play at it?
Yeah, the Beatles.
What is your non-musical skill?
Art.
And who would you describe your music in one word?
Just rock and roll.
There you go. If you could raid another artist's wardrobe, who would it be?
The Beatles.
No,
they're the best.
So there you go. That's James McCartney's answer to pretty much every single question was the Beatles or vegetables. And then they asked for his non-musical skill and somebody else had to tell him what it was. They were like, art. And he was like, art.
Oh, wow.
I just don't know if James McCartney has independent thought. Like there's AI. There's AI with more independent thought.
It's kind of sweet, isn't it? But it's also like, are you okay, hun?
Yeah,
it does. There's a nice, charming amount of loyalty in there. But it's almost as if the Beatles weren't doing that well and he needed to plug them. And he's like, the lads, they're struggling. Yeah. I'm gonna mention the Beatles loads in this interview to get their numbers up.
Great.
Oh, James.
Great new band coming through the BBC Music Introduce and Uploader, isn't that right, Abby?
Like, all the Beatles. Oh, they sound okay, actually.
Glastonbury was meant to be this week. I was meant to be at it. Were either you two going to it this year?
No, I wasn't.
I always have the feeling that I'm going. I somehow like seem to blag it quite a lot. So I feel like maybe I would have been, but I probably wouldn't have been.
For anybody who feels like they're missing out in Glastonbury this year, let me like give you a little blast of Adele talking to her audience at 2016.
Hi. Have any of you had to do a piss, like down the front? Yeah. Have any of you had to do a shit? Someone's pointing at someone over there, one of you's had a shit. Is that piss in that cup? But don't fucking throw that at me. Don't throw that at me. Do you know how rock and roll I am? Not very, but the BBC had to give a warning about my potty mouth. Before I went on, I bet Muse didn't get that. Muse didn't get a warning beforehand.
I don't think, I don't think anybody cares as much about them as they do Adele. Savage, absolute savage. I love Adele. Savage. Classy, bougie, ratchet. I feel like it was written for Adele, wasn't it?
So that, and just that she, I mean, I know it's been said so many times, but just that the next thing to happen is that like perfect voice, like old timey, beautiful voice to come after, you've done a shit. Like that's absolutely stunning.
I wonder, is there any artists that are like on the other side of the spectrum where they're very softly spoken? And then they get on the microphone, they're like, piss, shit.
Yeah, there has to be. We must be fans of them. It has to be.
So, because we're missing out on festivals completely this year, which is an absolute bummer for all of us, I wanted to sort of make it a lot easier for anybody who's watching or listening to this today. What is the worst experience that you've had at a music festival? It'll make us feel a little bit better for missing it.
One thing always pops into my mind, and it's not really bad, but it just, yeah, it sticks in my mind, is the first festival I went to was Reading Festival. Like the classic rite of passage, got my GCSE results. Me and some mates went to Reading Festival for the first time. This was in 2008. And obviously one of the best things about a festival is when there's like whispers across the campsite about the huge special guests. And there were this band on the BBC introducing stage called the FFers. So everyone was like, oh my God, it's Code. It's the Foo Fighters. And then I remember going onto their MySpace on my like rubbish little phone at the time. And their MySpace photo was of Dave Grohl. So we were like, no, this is legit. Like this is happening.
Oh my God,
and they've like really planned it.
Yeah.
So like me and all my friends were obviously like so excited. I hadn't seen Foo Fighters at that point, and they're like one of my favorite bands. So we were like running to the BBC Introducer stage, like in our wellies through all the mud, like, let's go. And then we got there, and there was obviously so many people there. So the introducing stage, obviously for like new and emerging musicians, is one of the smaller stages. And there was like a main stage crowd there. And then, you know, everyone was chanting, everyone was getting fully excited. And then this random band came out, and they were like,
oh my.
Hey, we're the Peppers. And then they just got bottled with piss. And
oh,
then
left.
They were on stage, I would say, for about 10 seconds. Because everyone was just
like, what were they thinking?
Ugh. It was just, oh.
Is that what they were actually called?
Sat,
it wasn't like a.
Yeah, they were actually called
stunt?
The Peppers.
Why? I'm in pain.
Oh my God.
It's so cringe, isn't it? Also, was so disappointed at the time, but now I actually just feel really sorry for them. And I'm like, where are they? If they're watching this or listening to this, please
tell
get
us.
In touch.
That, oh, lads.
I do. I want to hear that story from them.
Like, yeah. They must have walked out like, wow, loads of people are here.
If those guys, and anybody knows those guys, pass this on to them and tell them to get in touch with me because I want to get them on. Wow, that's a good idea though. If you are playing at a festival and you want to change your band name anyway, just like maybe change the vowel in like one of the like a famous band's like name. So like instead of Catfish and the Bottle Man, you should call yourself Catfish and the Bottle Man. And yeah, and everybody like, oh my God, they're on so early. They're playing at a burger joint.
Oh well, that segues nicely into my story.
Go on.
So we played Glastonbury a couple of times at Fight Like Apes, and the first year we played, I don't know, you just kind of, obviously I've lived a reasonably nice life, because you just kind of assume when you're inexperienced, once you get given a gig like Glastonbury, you're going to be looked after in some way. But then you realize that Glastonbury is a city, and there, you know, has different degrees of care given to each artist. And I mean, we got like dropped at the gate, and we had to walk across the main stage crowd to where our stage was, because we didn't have back road access and stuff. Big Jeff from Bristol went by on a truck, and of course you bump into Big Jeff when I'm in the middle of the Vampire Weekend we're playing.
Yeah.
We were there with our gear. It was just the crappiest thing ever, but we were still so excited to be there. But then when we arrived to the stage, it was the back of a truck kind of a thing. And then like six people arrived. I knew five of them, and the sixth one was like naked with an Irish flag around him. he was just there out of solidarity. And to be totally honest, I loved the gig, because we weren't expecting anything anyway.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you, the second time we played, I think, was BBC Introducing. And that was our reward for the crap first one.
Oh my God.
I mean, it was just the
You build it up in your head.
The world.
You build it up
exactly,
in your head.
Yeah, exactly. And you tell everyone.
Yeah.
That the worst part is when you come home and you're like, and they're like, what was it like? Oh, perfect. Yeah, it was great.
But
I mean, that's the worst part.
It's a massive box tick. It's like,
yeah,
it's very easy. It's again, like another humble brag. Like if you're in the pub going, oh yeah, I play Glastonbury. Or like, I play Glastonbury twice. I mean, the might have been the shittest set, or it might have been like,
yeah,
like you might have been busking outside the front of it. Oh, I play Glastonbury.
Oh yeah. It's still the first line of your press release, regardless of how
yeah,
the actual
yeah, exactly.
Game. Sorry, BBC Introducing wasn't Glastonbury, but so I don't get that wrong. But yeah, like, and that's happened loads of times. Anybody in a band will have a story about a festival experience like that. God. But I mean, those guys giving themselves that name, that's like people who lie about their height or something like that on online dating. Just like, what is the point in that lie getting you out?
Had that? Have you ever turned up and somebody said that they're like 6'5" and you turn up and they're 5'5"?
No, I've never gone on an online based date before. And I mean, for reasons like this, and not that I would mind, it just seems like a truly bizarre thing to lie about. Give yourself a chance.
Well, that moves us on to our next bit.
You were in the parking lot earlier. That's how I know you.
Which is, that's how I know you. This is like our little space for us to talk about those random experiences that you have bumping into either heroes or idols or like famous musicians or sports stars or whatever. And I kind of like, this came from a sort of thread that I started on my Facebook, and it's about 124 comments deep at the minute, and I've got loads of voice clips off them. So I'm going to play one in now from a friend of mine called Johnny, who also he's a promoter back in Belfast, Chisnay Promotions, and goes under the name Stone Frog.
Hi, Johnny.
And Johnny is a number one melter himself,
yes,
which he will also attest to. But this is a story that he'd sent in about Coolio.
I think one of the weirdest situations I've been in Artists so far is taking Coolio to Argos and sitting and watching him flick through the Argos catalog, looking at scrap jewelry. It was pretty embarrassing, to be honest.
I think that might have been the same tour that Coolio went to play in Castledairg, which is a small town in Tyrone. And I've grown up in Tyrone my whole life, and I've never even heard of one gig in Castledairg. And now Coolio's going to play there. So yeah, that's Johnny's story. If anybody else has got a good story of a sort of bump into or a strange experience that they've had with somebody in the musical community, then send me an email, slacker.ptag@gmail.com, or just send me a DM. Abby, starting with you, who's yours?
A couple. So the first one was when I was still a producer and I was really new at this point. One of my first jobs was working at Six Music. So I was assistant producing Steve and Mac show. And there is a toilet right by the studio. So obviously you don't want to be away for too long because you're working on a live show. So I like quickly ran to the loo, and then I literally came running out of the toilet and like went with someone. I like looked up and it was Idris Elba, and I was like, I'm so sorry.
Did you run into Idris Elba's elbow?
Very good. And he just smelled the best. It was,
of course,
if I close my eyes, I can still smell the scent now. It was divine.
That's
my goodness, that
always pops into my head because I like literally collided with him, and he was just like, "Oh, it's fine, don't worry." And I was so embarrassed.
He's an absolute.
Like, you're like, "Don't worry, here's a hug."
Yeah.
don't worry. Can I just hold on to you for 10 minutes?
Yeah, I'm really freaked out. Do you mind if we hold?
Yeah.
He's an absolute unit as well as Idris Elba.
Yeah,
he's
exactly.
A big guy.
I probably did myself some damage there, but he was really sweet about it, and then. The more recent one is I was at the Seabright Arms, which is where I do my gig night, which is called Good Karma Club. So it's just like a monthly gig night where I put on a bunch of my favourite acts. So it's this like small boozer. I was there with my fiance and a couple of our mates between bands, just having a pint. And then I noticed my fiance was like looking over my shoulder and like literally was losing the ability to speak. And I was like, are you okay? I was thinking, you've only had two pints. Are you all right? And then his friend next to him also was like, and like freaking out. And I was like, okay, what is going on? And they couldn't even get out what they were trying to say. So I turn around.
Have they been spiked?
Well, yeah, exactly. This is when I realized that. And then I like looked behind me, and at the bar, it was Alex Turner for the Arts Monkeys. I was just like, what?
Never seen him in the flesh.
What? And I was, and they're like my favorite band. I've got the AM logo like tattooed on my
That's
arm
right,
and
yeah.
I'm obsessed with them and always have been. So then I was losing it. And I was like, oh my God, like he's at my gig night. What do I do? But I ended up going over to speak to him. So I was just like, fuck it. They're my favorite band. I've got to seize the opportunity. And he was really nice. And yeah, he'd come down to check out one of the acts. Just had a really nice chat about music and he was just lovely. But I couldn't believe he was there.
Did he have,
just like, what?
Did he have sunglasses on indoors? And what was he drinking?
What was he drinking? It looked like some sort of lager. And he was just, he had like, his hair was really long. And he was just like all in black, classic.
He's quite
he was quite unassuming. He was just literally there, just acting like it was his normal pub and that it was fine that he was there. Whereas, and it was funny because when I was speaking to him, I'm obviously there like deep breaths, deep breath, deep breaths, like try and be normal. And then as I'm talking to him, you realize more and more people are staring at you because you're talking to him. And it's just funny because he's just there with his lager, like just being lovely chatting. And the whole pub is staring at him. And you do just think like being that famous in a way must be weird.
A nightmare.
You can't do anything.
Yeah. I mean, like,
yeah, you're probably constantly waiting for someone to walk over to you rather than, at least he got you. I'd say he liked meeting you.
Well, let's go with that.
Yeah, I definitely am.
That's a real good one. If I was like super duper famous, like sort of like Alex Turner, Bill Murray famous, what I'd do, and I'd say I was a little bit of a dick as well, I'd come into like a restaurant or whatever and I'd just like sign a load of like autograph cards and just put them on the like little chair at the door and go, guys, if you want an autograph, there it is.
There it is.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Quite efficient, actually.
Alex Turner, Idris Elba.
You were in the parking lot earlier. That's how I know you.
May Kay, who's yours?
So I have two, and I didn't know we were doing good ones. So you know when you're like, who's your like drunk dial late at night? Unfortunately for my mum, it's her that I ring, you know, at 3 a.m. and I'm like, yes. Anyway. After a gig in London, and we've been on tour a lot, and my mum was worried about my behaviour when I was away. So obviously to alleviate that, I ring her at like 3 a.m. to tell her that I just met Spider from Carnation Street.
Major.
Incredible. Like, I nearly spat water over everything.
Like, if she wasn't worried enough. I mean, in my defense, I wouldn't have rang her if I met Alex Turner because I don't think she would have cared that much.
No.
Because she watched Coronation Street all the time. I was like, and you know, and I couldn't wait even till the next morning to ring her. I was so sure that she'd be so excited about it. So yeah, she's like, what drugs are you on? How many have you taken? Are you with people you trust? Like crazy. But I genuinely, there had been a drink taken, but I genuinely thought that it would be really amazing. That, for her to hear,
it really,
it,
it genuinely is. Like, I mean, like around that time, Spider was known as the sort of crusty hippie version of the character in Coronation Street. And from my memory, I mean, I think this is probably the last moment that I remember watching Coronation Street. He used to wear a ripped, stripy mohair jumper and had like maybe a single dread going down the back. Real sexy stuff.
Very sexy stuff.
Yeah.
My other one was when I was in Austin one time and I was at a gig and there was a lot of, you know, like Austin in a really good way, particularly around Austin City Limits or at South by Southwest is very networky thing. So you're kind of in the middle of a very eclectic bunch of people and some of them are, you know, it's a couple of political people involved in this little group of us having a drink outside and whatever. But Lance Armstrong arrives in.
As he does.
With a mixed response. I was just like, like fascinated by him as a lot of people are.
Did he take his helmet off and then you were like, whoa, it's him, and he's wearing a yellow jersey?
Like, he they were talking about the school system. I don't remember exactly the details. They were talking about the school system. He obviously decided that I was this reckless Irish person, so he's like just glued to me. I obviously appeared completely unjudgmental. So he glued to me. I was just completely like, is this happening? And then someone said something about them introducing drug testing into schools, random drug testing.
Did you go?
And he said to me, he whispered to me, I hope they don't do that in my kids' school. And he was joking.
What?
But I was just like, oh, please tell me somebody else heard that, you know? And I just like, what have I done in his presence to make him think I was the one to, and he'd be like, she'll think this is gas.
But you're Irish, so like he just automatically thinks, go, oh, they love the crack. Look at this.
Yeah, totally. And like, I have to stress, he was joking.
Yeah.
But I mean, it was just one of those things that I was just like, I don't know if anyone's going to believe me when I tell them this, you know,
or
what you thought, that you thought I was the one that was going to nudge him. No, sir. He did the nudging.
Well, that we'll put in the bank for Makey, Spider and Lance Armstrong.
You were in the parking lot earlier. That's how I know you.
Fair play to the Perrys. Right, our final bit before we say goodbye. We have got it's time. I think it's because I'm doing this for the first time. I'm really not quite sure how to introduce any of these clips because I'm like, so I'm just gonna go. I'm gonna push this button.
I fucking love this band. They are the best band ever, period.
There you go. So I'm asking you like your favorite new releases, bands, artists, anything that's like that you want to share that maybe people haven't listened to, starting with you, Mickey.
So I know that you guys played Thumper before. They released a single called Ad Nauseam a while ago, which is amazing, and they just released Topher Grace this week, and they're one of my favorite bands. They're one of those bands that give me a little pain in my heart at the moment because they're just at that point in their career where people need to see them live. They're so brilliant live. I was at a couple of points in the last 10 years at the stage they are now. And it's just that one where you're playing those smaller venues, 200, 300 capacity venues. And that's the difference between, you know, what you can do, what festivals you can do the next summer and what you can't do. So I'm so gutted for them that they're having to cancel touring plans at the moment. But Topher Grace is a deadly single and they have their album ready to go. I think it's being released next year. The other one, which came up in my mind because of I was on that Jenny Lewis train. So kind of the Froog era Jenny Lewis reminds me of this new track by Alva Reddy called Personal History. No, Time Difference is the name of the single. Alva, in case I know that some people listen to this, it's A-I-L-B-H-E or E-D-D-Y. she's an amazing artist. She's got another single coming out next month, an album later in the year. So yeah, Thumper and Alva Reddy.
I haven't heard Alva Reddy before. I've heard a lot of Thumper. I like Thumper. They're great, proper blistering rock and roll. A little bit of punk rock in there too.
And they have two drummers, right?
Yes, yeah, they do.
I saw them at Eurosonic Festival and for ages I was like, is there a mirror on stage? Like, what's going on? And then I was like, this is amazing. I've never seen that before. Like,
The Go Team. The Go Team is the only band I've seen do it before. And I know it's one of those things that like you want a band to give themselves a chance. And like, if a bigger act want to take a band on tour, you need to really convince them to take a band on tour that has two drummers.
Yeah. So big time.
We have to double down on selling Thumper to people.
Yeah. Huge. Abby, what about you?
What have I been listening to? My favorite song of the whole year is Black Dog by Arlo Parks.
Think absolutely.
The most beautiful, like honest thing. And I think anybody that suffers with their mental health will really resonate with that song. And I just think it's literally just the perfect song. It's something that I know that I will keep coming back to even in like a couple of years. So yeah, Arlo Parks is just a genius. There's just so much good stuff around at the moment. I really like Loose, who's a new singer-songwriter from Ireland. Holly Humberston, I think, is wicked as well. But in terms of like albums, what I've had just like on repeat over the last couple of weeks is that new Haim record. It's so good.
Yes.
Oh, I haven't heard it.
11 out of 10 from me. I actually
did a review of it. I did a review of it.
Did you give it 11 out of 10?
I gave it 7. Everybody thinks 7 is a bad mark. 7 is really good. Like if 7 was like a grade, it would be like a B plus, wouldn't it? There were 16 tracks on it, and I listened to it over and over again, and I just every time I was going through it, I was like, if this was 11 tracks, it would be fucking dynamite. There's about three or four tracks in there you could just get rid of, and it would be the streamlined pop fucking banger of so many different. I mean, they've got like R&B and G-funk and like electro and 80s.
Yeah, there's like some real Prince moments and stuff in it as well, isn't it? It's really cool. I really like it.
Yeah, I think they needed to make that album this time around as well, because the first album and second album, there wasn't too much differentiation between it. And if they had done that again, the third one, people would have lost interest.
Yeah, that's exactly.
I'm willing to say 16 tracks is 7 tracks too long. Definitely for me.
Do you reckon do you like a 9-track album?
I love it. Before I've even heard it, we're not even discussing a particular artist, and I already love the album you're talking about that only has 9 tracks.
You sound
short and sweet. I get that. I think maybe I've loved it so much because I've had more time than ever to listen to music in lockdown. So I've like really taken in all 16 tracks. Mm. Whereas, normally if I saw 16, I'd be like, what are you playing at? Like, you could have just done 10 and it would be, and it'd be fine. That would be plenty.
Well, no, I feel bad. So I am going to absolutely listen to that Haim record with an open mind and an open day to listen to it.
You need a lot of time. 16 tracks worth of time.
Yeah. I mean, even the ones that like you take out of it still aren't even that bad. There's just one track in it that really gets me, and it's in the middle of it. I can't remember the name of it for the life of me, but it just sounds like, sounds like supermarket music from the 80s, and it's just like, no. All the rest of it's great. They absolutely nailed it. And I mean, I'm finding it difficult now that I've got people on the podcast and I'm reviewing their albums as well, so I'm going to have to look at them dead in the eye going, this is what I fucking think, man.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to be awkward. What I was going to say, well, the final bit of the podcast now is called Portrait of a Patron. Where we just look at a patron that is donating and keeping the Slacker podcast and Slacker Friends podcast going. Our friend Sam, our patron, has sent us in his favorite record of all time, which is By the Way by the Red Hot Chili Peppers, which is still one of my favorite like gigs that I've ever been to. Seeing the Chili Peppers at Slane Castle in 2001, maybe was it 2002, was fucking incredible, because they had Queens of the Stone Age, PJ Harvey, Weezer, and somebody else supporting, so it was like wicked. It was like Queens of the Stone Age when they were like at their biggest too. Favorite band is the Cribs, who are sick. Best release of the year is the Bombay Bicycle Club release, which is amazing. Worst band is the 1975.
Controversial.
Is that controversial for you, Abby? I know you like them.
I really like them, but it always reminds me of like the NME Awards when they used to call them like the worst band in the world or whatever, and now they're like, they're darling. So I just find it funny how a lot of people used to hate them and now love them. But
I was like that though. When I first heard them, it felt like a bit formulaic to me.
Yeah.
And the more I got into the record, I was like, no, this is serious business.
They're amazing. They write good pop songs. I mean, they're a big offender of having an album that's too long. Their last record was 22 tracks.
Yeah, it was quite a lot, wasn't it?
I listened to it.
Unless they're all a minute each.
There was that's perfect. Although like they go from like having house tracks to a burial style track to having like a punk rock track to having an NXS track to like, I mean,
yeah,
Matty Healy, I would imagine, would be the worst person to watch a movie with. Like, he's just such a restless fucker. Like,
yeah.
I'd love to watch a movie.
Come on, what are we watching?
All the same.
What are we watching? Happy Gilmore. Dead on. Stick it on.
Imagine him, Denise, and Tim. Be lovely. Lovely family occasion watching a movie.
Oh, that'd be
what do they watch? What do you reckon they watch together? I'm saying like Shawshank Redemption.
Oh, I get a Dad's Army vibe off those.
Oh, yeah. The movie, even the series.
Yeah, or Blackadder. They're all laughed together at the same parts. Yeah.
Sam's.
Don't know what that was.
Sam's.
That was them all laughing together.
Our portrait of a patron, Sam, for this week, his most cringe musical experience was he went to see LaRue at Leeds Festival when he was 17 rather than Rage Against the Machine. I've never lived it down.
Oh, yeah, you
could have seen LaRue again since, like, but Rage, they're a rare beast that needs to be captured. They're like the Mewtwo of music. You need to get, I don't know enough about Pokemon to keep that analogy going.
That was pretty funny actually over the past while when people were like, when they started talking about maybe it was Black Lives Matter and they got tweeted at being like, I only was a fan because I liked your music and now you're getting all political, and the band were like, sorry, what? Rage Against the Machine.
How did you listen to Rage Against the Machine? Like, talk about missing the point. Like, the thinking that Rage Against the Machine weren't a political band. If you want to be a portrait of a patron, then go and support the podcast over on the Patreon website, slacker.com or patreon.com/slackerpodcast. That is us done. That's episode one of the Slacker podcast done. Thank you so much to Abby. Thank you so much to Mekay. Nothing went on fire. I mean, I think I interrupted you with a clip at a really inappropriate time, which is like gonna keep me up tonight, I think, a little bit. But like,
I haven't spoken for this long in months. I'm exhausted. I'm going for a night.
The last time I was on like Zoom for an hour or like over an hour was drinking beers and playing poker, like a proper like blokey bloke, about a couple of weeks ago.
Like a total legend.
Six cigars and all. Guys, thank you so much for taking the time out to be my slacker friends.
Spin your passion into a business with Shopify and break sales records with the world's best converting checkout. Let's hear that one more time. The world's best converting checkout. Shopify's legendary checkout makes it easier for customers to shop on your website, across social media, and everywhere in between. Now that's music to your ears. Any way you spin it, you can be a smash hit with Shopify. Start your $1 a month trial today at shopify.com/records.